Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. He always answers when I call Him. Amen? Hallelujah. How many here know that God is the answer? For everything. I don't care what it is. I don't care what struggle you're going through. I don't care what has happened the last second, just a moment ago, or what's going to happen tomorrow. God is the answer. Amen. He not only has the answer, He is the answer. Amen. His Word, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. It will make alive your mortal body. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's start with prayer. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this time. More than anything, we thank You for You, Lord. We thank You, Father, for Your Son, Jesus, who obeyed Your plan, willingly went to the cross, but even before that, took the scourging, the beating, Lord, for our health, for our prosperity, for our emotional well-being, Lord, for our financial well-being, and for our salvation, for our safety, so that we could be safe, so that we could be saved from the darkness and the torment of this world, and brought into the kingdom of Your dear Son, the kingdom of light and life, and that more abundantly, abundant life, Lord. We thank You today for the opportunity to come corporately together and fellowship with one another, but more than anything, more importantly, fellowship with You. We love You, Lord. So now we just surrender this time. Holy Spirit, You bring God's will into this house and cause it to come to pass. We yield to You. We need You, Holy Spirit. We thank You for Your presence in our lives. We thank You that You've blessed us by Your presence and that You're teaching and leading and guiding us. This morning we're going to be exhorted, edified, comforted, built up in love, Lord. More than anything, we're going to be drawn closer to You. Now, Lord, we surrender once again. We turn it all over to You. We thank You in Jesus' name for this day. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God has been working on me all week. The reason is because I am not satisfied where I'm at. And I realize that there are places in my life that need to change. I realize that I have, and I say this, you know, when I say I'm really talking to all of us, that I have things in my life and ideas in my life that are not cohesive to the Word of God. I'm going to read you just one little passage out of where I'm going to minister from this morning. That's in Mark chapter 10. Verse 15 says, "Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." You know, as adults, as people who have walked with God for a while, or even as new people, new children, we, species or beings that never before existed, we sometimes have ideas and things of the way things should be, the way that we want things to go, and we sometimes kind of put ourselves in a place where... Before I finish that sentence, let me ask you a question. How many here are satisfied with your walk with God? How many here have something inside you that's crying out for something more? Something more. You know there's something lacking. You know there's some reason why you're not entering in to the power and authority you've desired. Amen? Hallelujah. And we're going to talk about that this morning. On the one hand, it was miserable, but on the other hand, it was a blessing. Because God was in it, it was all a blessing, but it didn't feel real good for the moment. And there's some things that I realized about myself that I know if it's in me, and if people of leadership are suffering from this, then people out there are suffering with it. Amen? Hallelujah. And I see this happening to a lot of people. I see God moving and beginning to change them. And that scripture is the key, that verse. Unless you come as a little child and enter the kingdom as a little child, you'll not be able to enter into the kingdom. You have to accept it as a little child. And that means no reservations, no hesitations, no doubt, no unbelief, and no preconceived ideas. Amen? Hallelujah. So, if that whets your appetite, praise the Lord. If not, hang on. We'll get there in just a few minutes here. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Thank You, Heavenly Father, for this beautiful day and for each and every person that's here this morning. We thank You for Your blessings that You've poured out upon us. We ask that each and every person receive from You today what You have for us. We ask you to bless these tithes and offerings as we return them back to you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen.
Praise you and thank you in Jesus' name for that. Give you all honor and glory. And all who agree this morning, say amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will. If you didn't bring a Bible, there should be one in the pew next to you somewhere. Turn to Mark chapter 10. And we'll start in verse 13 and go through verse 31. Hallelujah. This message has been a great struggle to me because, like many of you, I know, have desired to see the power of God manifest in your life in a way you have never before experienced. And I'm not just talking about the, you know, what we might consider mundane as we go through everyday life. It's not mundane. Nothing of God is mundane. But the power that we have been looking for, we've been asking for, we've been desiring, but that's escaped us. And we don't understand why. We don't understand why. I know some of you expressed, a desire for more of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you this morning, you have all the Holy Spirit you need. He's the one who leads and guides and directs. He's the one who does the things through us. It's not us. It's not what we do as far as our abilities. It's what we surrender to, which is the Holy Spirit. But the thing that's happening is what I've perceived this week through much struggle and through much agony is the fact that there's things in my life that I didn't even see and I didn't understand. I have ideas and notions of the way things should be, the way I'd like to see things happen. But because there's too much of me in that, in fact, what's happened is I have, through these thoughts and ideas, I have not even realized that I still consider everything a little slanted because it doesn't line up with what I think or the way I do things. Do you hear what I'm saying? And as a result, what that does is that brings frustration inside of me, it brings anxiety, and it puts me off kilter, where the enemy comes in and tries to beat me up. What's wrong with you? We have a desire to operate in the authority and the power of God in a mighty way. And I'm here to tell you today, it's not the devil that's holding us back. It's ourselves. It's ourselves. With our preconceived ideas, our notion of the way from our understanding of Scripture, of the way it should be. Let's start reading in verse 13 of Mark chapter 10. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Then they brought the little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. See, even in the disciples, there was some religious ideas or some things that they didn't understand. And so Jesus had to speak to them. He had to set them straight. My job's not to set people straight. Your job's not to set people straight. It's the Holy Spirit's job. It's God's job. And so he went on and he said, the disciples rebuked those who brought him. In verse 14, but when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. And assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms and laid hands on them and blessed them. We get too quick in our wisdom and our understanding to look at things and take reactions or make reactions that hinder us and hinder other people. And as I felt the frustration, as I looked at situations, individuals, and things everywhere around me, I began to sense that frustration and realize Jesus is never frustrated with us. God is never frustrated with us. You know why we're frustrated? One of the reasons is because we don't have control. Now, I'm not talking about self-control. I'm saying the things we can't control, there is anxiety about. Now, don't all say amen at once. Come on, it's the truth. I heard this week, I was listening, and I don't normally do this, not because I have anything against it, but because I just, there again, probably my own thoughts and ideas. And I didn't agree with everything that was said, but something hit me right in the face. I was listening to Donnie Swaggart. And he started out by talking about a man from England. But here's the crux of what he said. I'm not going to talk about the man of England. I'm a man from England or who was a well-known person. But the fact that in his life there was a struggle that he could not get free from. In our lives, there are struggles that we just don't seem to get free from. And it's because, first of all, we don't see or understand what they are. All we know is, God, this is the way I think it should work, but how come it's not working? This is the way I expect it, but how come it's not working? How come I'm not seeing victory in my life? And what Donnie was talking about is pastors who have all kinds of situations in their life that operate in the authority and the power of God, but there's something missing. They don't have that dunamis, that dynamic, that explosive dynamite power that they want in their life. And it's not just ministers. If it's happening in the ministers, it's happening in the church. Amen? Amen? It's not just the pulpit, but it's not just you either. We're here to change, but we need to do it as little children. We need to forget everything we know. We need to forget everything we understand or the way we understand things. And let the Spirit of God come in, bring us back to the place where we're just like little children, where we don't have a preconceived idea. We don't have a way that we think it should go. We just listen to Daddy, and Daddy says, this is the way to do it, and we do it. We imitate our Father. Who's our Father? God. And what is His plan for us? What is His thoughts for us? To give us a hope and a future. Amen? There were all kinds of things that Donnie Swaggart listed. You know, pornography, booze, cigarettes, gambling, whatever it is. And these men are men of God. They love God. But they are missing out on the power, and they realize there's something in their life. There's a desperation. Are you desperate this morning for the power of God in your life? Are you desperate to see God move? Are you desperate to operate in the authority and the anointed power that God has for you? Then let's become as little children this morning. Amen? Let's go on in verse 17. I want to read a passage of Scripture, but I want to look at it from what I believe is an entirely different light, at least for me anyway. Now, as he was going on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" I don't think he was just looking at the hereafter. I think he was looking at right now, where God says, "I have given you life and that more abundantly." How many believe that God allows us to lack in anything, or that that's what He wants? I don't see any hands. We're on the same page. Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good." Listen carefully to the words. Let the Spirit of God minister to you this morning. "Why do you call me good?" This is Jesus talking, who if anybody was good, He was good. He wasn't born of the blood of man. He was born of the Spirit of God. There was no sin in Him. And yet here He says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God." Remember that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We've got to come out of this intellect and this way we think. And we've got to receive and surrender to the Spirit of God. To let Him take the anxieties and things out of our life. We have anxieties and things that hold us back. That may be the very thing that's the stronghold in your life that's keeping you from operating in the power that God has and desires for you. He's already given it to you, but you don't know what to do with it. You want to see it, you want to operate in it, but you can't. There's something holding you back. It may not be blatant sin, but it may be things you don't even see or understand. Things that you get up every day and you do it just blindly. You don't even know why you do it. You just do it because that's what you've been doing forever. But the point is, God has something more. He has something more. He desires something more for you because He knows your desire. Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says, "The desires of your Father you will fulfill." Amen? But that means that we have to let go of everything. What we see right in front of us. What we don't see right in front of us. Listen to what he says to this man. He says, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, these things I have kept from my youth." Now, I've never looked at this like this before. Bless my darling heart and mixed up mind. But what I see here is a man who, with all the ability he had and all the knowledge he had for the moment, walking in the things of God. He desired to serve God. And when Jesus goes on to talk to him in a few minutes about the riches of this world, that's more than money. That can also be the thought in your head of how smart you are. How smart you think you are. How smart I think I am. And we miss the fact that there's more. And that through that very thing, which is not wrong, God put it in us, but because we don't surrender and we don't let the Spirit of God shed His light in those areas, we're hung up. We're hung up. And yet I know, as I said when I started, that there's deep desires in every one of us here to walk in the things of God. To see God move in powerful ways like those people who have gone before us. The people like Smith Wigglesworth. Maybe it's Kenneth Copeland. Maybe it's Kenneth Hagin. Maybe it's Norval Hayes. There's another one, and I can't think of his name right now. I can see his face. Those kind of people. You know, whoever it is that you've looked up to and you've said, "Man, God, I wish I had that. I wish I could do that. I wish I could go there." Stop wishing and surrender. Let God go into those places that you're uncomfortable, that you want to hide from everybody, and sometimes even from yourself because you don't like it, it's uncomfortable. If God created us after His image, then God put things inside of us, and they're there for His purpose. What right do you or I have, even to ourselves, look at things and say, "Man, you're really, you know, this is not..." I mean, you don't even realize consciously you're doing it, but you say, "I don't understand. It's not going the way I thought it should. It's not going the way I perceived it." You may not even be conscious of that you're doing that. So when I begin to look at people who are not following and doing things that I consider right, then once again, I'm going back to that judgment that I preached about here a few weeks ago, and looking at things from a shaded image. I'm not able to see clearly. See, until we can get rid of our own preconceived ideas, or our own thoughts about the way it should be, or our own thoughts, "Well, God did this in me," or "God did this that way in that person," until we can get rid of that, then we're not little children. We're operating in our own wisdom, our own insight, our own understanding, and we're not surrendering in the way. I'm not saying you don't love God, like this young man, doing everything he knew to do, but still, he was bound. There was a stronghold in his life. Let's move on. "And he answered Jesus and said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.' And then Jesus, looking at him, loved him." Loved him. Didn't consider what he knew was going on in that young man's life, but he looked at him and he loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me." And this is the part that we hate. We hear that, and we don't have an idea in the world what that means. It doesn't mean we're going back to the cross or we're going to take a cross, but you are going to take a cross, both for yourself and those around you. It's work. That's not just tiptoe through the tulips and everything's fine. There is a warfare going on both in you and outside of you, without you. And that warfare, you have to take up your cross. And you have to look beyond yourself and you have to realize that when you take up your cross, what you're doing is you are dying for one who needs to have you die for them so that they can live, so that they can walk on the authority and the power of God, so that they can be set free in every aspect of their life. Every aspect of their life. Not just the cute little things, not just the feel-good little things, but in every part of their life. Man, I looked up the word bear, both in the dictionary and in the concordance. Wow. There's so much there that I couldn't begin. I'd have to have a whole lesson just to tell you what the word bear means. It means you're standing in the gap. You're the one who's standing for that person. You lay your life down and you take up the cross. But it's uncomfortable. Pastor Bill, it's uncomfortable. I don't like that. It's too much work. It's too much trouble. And you call yourself a minister of God? You call yourself a child of God? Let's go back and read in Isaiah 53 what Jesus did for you in obedience to the Father. He laid everything down. He didn't consider himself. For one moment, his flesh rose up when he was in the garden and said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And we say that. We cry that out almost every day, and we don't even realize we're crying that out. But the thing is, what we're missing is we're not saying, nevertheless, not what I want, God, but what you want. A little child looks, sees things, and makes judgments and perceptions come into their mind. They make judgments based on what they see. This is the way to do it. Are we willing to lay everything down so we can have what it is we desire? You may be operating completely in the knowledge of God. That doesn't mean, or in the wisdom of God, but that doesn't mean you are right. The Holy Spirit has to have full control. And you know what? The one thing that I know more than ever before in my life, and I've said this, but I'm going to say it again, I pray the impact will be tremendous in your life as it's being in my life. What I see is deceptive. Because I don't know the heart. I can see some things in people that God allows me to see, not for judgment, but to understand where they're coming from. But sometimes that judgment is not quite correct. In other words, I can tell a person who loves God. You can tell a person who loves God. You can tell a person who walks with God. You can tell a person who has the anointing, who's operating in the anointing. But the point is, there are still things that we don't understand. But we think, let me put it this way. What I thought, when I see things, and especially some individuals very close to me, and I'm not saying they're in this place, that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about somebody outside of here. But if the shoe fits, then we need to put it on. Amen? Not to be torn down, but to be built up. To be able to finally give in and let what God has for us come through. And operate in our lives. I will if you will. Bob said that on Wednesday night. I will if you will. This is what I've got for you if you will. This is what I desire for you if you will. Too many times we just think it's just going to drop out of heaven. Well, you know what? It did through the work of Jesus. But now you've got to have the wisdom and the understanding and the insight to know how to walk in it, to see the things that you need to change in your life. And you know what? When you do that, all of a sudden, you don't have the same outlook or vision as to what you see in front of you as you had before. Does that make any sense to anybody? So when you see somebody, I'll just give you an example. I know one who loves God. To the best of their ability, they serve God like this rich young ruler. But there's things they're hanging on to that are stinking ideas. They're false teaching. Okay, I'm going by what the Word says. I'm not passing any judgments. I've got me to look at. But what the appearance is, and I'm probably sure to anybody who sees this or who would be around this, would say the same thing. On the one hand, you minister to people, but the next word, you know, two or three words that are not best left unsaid come out of your mouth. Or you operate in the same thing I'm talking about. Well, you're not acting the way I think you should. You're wrong. Oh, that's judgment, folks. And that's not judging correctly. The Bible says if you judge yourself, you will not need to be judged. So the whole key is running back to that mirror and seeing what kind of man or person you are. I agonize because I realize the slant and the frustration that I felt because people don't get it and they don't perceive. I felt they didn't perceive or get it the right way. Things they're struggling with that they needlessly struggle with. And yet all the while, it's not what God's doing because God's working, whether I see it or feel it or not. It doesn't make any difference what I think. I know what the Word of God says. That's what I'm going to operate on. And that is that God is at work in us because that's what He says in His Word. And He does not change. Hebrews 13:8 tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Spirit that came is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does that mean that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever? That means the goodness of God that's in Him, the authority of God that's in Him, the power of God that's in Him, and the desire that God's put in Him for you and I never, ever changes. Never, ever changes. Amen? Never. Let's move on. But he was sad at this word, verse 22, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See, it may not be riches that you and I have. It may be. But we hold on to things that we feel justify us, that make us feel good about ourselves. And you know what? We might just be deceived about what we're hanging on to and how important that is. The question I would ask you, as I've asked myself and I've had to look at, is it what I want or what Jesus wants? Is it what makes me feel comfortable, or am I willing to surrender no matter what the fight, no matter what happens in front of me, knowing that God is in control? God will never suffer the steps of the righteous to be, you know, thwarted or to... Well, you know, there's a scripture I'm trying to think of and I can't think of it. But you know that He's for us, not against us. And He wants good things. But sometimes we would not, because we won't let go of the things that, by golly, this is the way I've done it and this is the way I like it. This is the way we're going to do it. Or this is what I see and this is my understanding and so I'm going to do it that way. Maybe your understanding's wrong. Maybe my understanding... No, there's no maybe about it. My understanding is wrong. I'm judging myself, so that I don't ever want to have, don't need to have God or somebody else judge me. Amen? In a way that would be what I would feel detrimental or hurtful to me. Are y'all still with me? And his disciples in verse 24... Well, let's go on. Let's take verse 23. Then Jesus looked around and he said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." Sometimes we hang on to things like we would want to hang on to riches. And we're really missing out on the wealth of God that He has for us. We hang on to them like they are riches rather than selling all, giving it all up, taking our cross and following Him. Laying down your life is easily said, but there's a lot of apprehension. When you're standing out in the middle of the battle and the bullets are flying by you, and you see a comrade that's about to get hurt because a grenade landed by you, and you go and throw yourself on that grenade to save others and save that one, that's when you've surrendered everything. And the love of God comes through in your life for that other person. We talk about it. We think we want to. We desire to. But we want to protect our life too much in too many areas. And as a result, we miss being able to be the one who could minister to the stronghold and see that one set free. And in so doing, seeing ourselves set free. Amen. How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered and said in verse 24 to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God." And I would say to you, how hard it is for those who operate in their own wisdom to enter the kingdom of God. I'm not saying you won't make it, but I'm saying you're missing out, or you could possibly miss out, and me also, on things that are far greater than you can even conceive, which the Bible tells us is the fact, because God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our ways. We operate on the intellect and the understanding we have, but we can't even come close to the wisdom and understanding of God. It's glorious. It's glorious. It's exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Amen. I want to see the Holy Spirit be able to just absolutely flow through me in a way that He wants to, and He's there. But are you like me this morning? He can't, because I would not. Not intentionally, not knowingly, but unknowingly. See, remember again, Bob brought this out too. We've talked about this many times. In Song of Solomon it says, I believe it's Song of Solomon, it says, the little foxes spoil the vine. The little foxes, the little things that spoil the vine. The things we overlook, we don't even consider. God, I've ministered to this person. I've talked to this person. I've done all I can for this person. And they don't see it and they don't get it. What's wrong? What's happening? What? I don't understand. The Bible says, consider your ways. Your desire is not wrong. What you seek after is not wrong. But you may be, because of the example that you're putting forth right now, not even realizing. On one hand, you're putting forth a godly example, but on the other hand, because of the lack of surrender to Him in everything, your understanding of the Word, your understanding of the way you think things ought to be, the way you see things and think that's the way things should be, is that your wisdom or is that God's wisdom? Surrender is not surrender until it's surrender. That means my hands are up, open. God, whatever you have, I'm willing. Comfortable or uncomfortable. Do you think God's going to hurt you? Do you think God's going to do something that's going to be harmful to you? He's going to demand something of you that's beyond your capability? But are you going to love Him enough to say, God, whatever you want, I'll do? And if Jesus did it, if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. To lay me aside, every thought, every preconceived idea, everything that I think I know, and say, God, once again, I want to know what you know. I want to act like you act. I want to speak what you speak, because you only speak what the Father says. And surrender to that Holy Spirit, which will cause you to do that very thing in your life for others. We get greedy with the things we have. Yes, we want more. Nothing wrong with that. To desire more of the things of God. But the point is, in so doing, we may have to give up some things to really understand and receive those things. Praise God. Verse 25, once again, it repeats itself. It says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying to themselves, who can be saved then? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Verse 28, then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left and followed you. And Jesus answered to him and said to him, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children, or lands, for my sake. You've left it all for His sake. And the Gospels, the truth, the good news. Who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. We have a hope of eternal life. And we have eternal life as those who have given their lives to God. But is it just barely getting in the door? Are you satisfied with that? I'm not, Gene. I'm not satisfied with that. Verse 31, he says, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. There's so many scriptures that we know. They've been preached to us till they're coming out our nose, if you will, our ears. But we still don't have an understanding. We're still not operating in those things. Don't lean to your own understanding. I'm going to add to it, don't lean on your own perceptions. your own thoughts of adequacy or what you think you know. Come to God as a little child with everything, like you don't know anything except Him and Him crucified. Except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's why He tells us to be determined not to know anything. The author of those words said, I am determined not to know anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Which means every day, I, as much as any other person, need to fall on that rock so that rock doesn't need to fall on me. Yes, you're going to be broken. The Bible says that. What does that mean? That means, yeah, there's things that you're going to feel uncomfortable with that He exposes in your life to you. He's not going to shout it from the housetops. He's not going to embarrass you, but He's going to require more of you. How many are willing to give it up? Don't answer hastily. Consider your ways. Think about it. Are you really willing to lay down everything you think you know? The truth is the truth. It's not going to change. You're operating in truth. It's going to continue the same. But in the things that you think you have an understanding or a hold on, are you willing to lay it down today? Are you willing to put others first and put Him first more than others? Because those who are first will be last, and the last shall be first. We sang this morning, you're my friend, you're my brother, even though you're a king. And we sing the words, I want you more than any other, so much more than anything. But is that really the case today? Is that really the case today? I'm convicted. Not condemned, but convicted. I realize I still need to change a lot. Not that I didn't know that, but I understand in ways that I didn't see or perceive before. I need to change. I desire change, but now I see things in a different light. I can't go on with my understanding anymore. I've got to go on with the understanding of God. And when I give in and surrender to Him, then I'm going to see the fulfillment of the things that I desire, of walking in the power and authority, seeing the Holy Spirit be able to just tell me, or just whisper in my ear, go this way, do that, don't go there. Pray for that person and watch them delivered instantly in front of my eyes. How many times, says the Lord, would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks? But you would not. That's not a condemnation. That's not an accusation. It's saying, I have more. I desire more for you. I hear what you're asking, but I can't because you won't. How many know that if God's requiring this or He's ministering this and has required me to say it, that He's also required, I've also given the ability to do it? Because He says He'll never put more on us than we can handle. But that with that, He will provide a way of escape. And you know what that means? That means our advocate, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will be right there to take us through it. Amen. He's given us the equipment, the ability. Amen. Do you believe that? Do you believe that this morning? I remember a point, I think I've shared this with you, in my life, church when we were on Wadsworth at that school, that alternative school or whatever you call it, I can't remember the name, but anyway. And we were there, and I heard Stan say, Father, I place you, Lord, I place you at the highest place in my life. Oh, man, I was excited about that. And yet, I couldn't just jump out and say that. Because I knew that wasn't the truth in my life at that moment. I didn't want to just say it, be a liar. And it took a couple of months, maybe more, I don't remember, for for me to come to the place where I said, God, whatever you want. Whatever you want. And then I could say honestly, with a clear, pure heart, God, I place you at the highest place. That means I trust you more. I desire you more. I seek you more than anything or anyone else. And the song we sang this morning said, Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. You're more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you. Nothing I desire compares with you. I understand more this moment than I ever have in my life, my desperate need for Him. And I understand more than ever in my life not to lean to my own understanding, not to be wise in my ideas, thinking, I got it down in this area. No, no, honey. No, not as long as you draw breath on this earth will you ever have it down pat. You'll continue to learn and grow. And that's what's cool about God. He's long-suffering. This message isn't to beat anybody up this morning, but to say, come higher, come higher, come higher. See what I've got for you. See what you're missing out on. I've already made the provision. Now, do your part and enter in to the blessings of God, the real power and the real authority. Oh, once in a while, we've tapped into that little socket that, or that little circuit that, you know, gives us a little jolt. But we haven't just been stayed plugged in to the real power. It's because of things in our life we refuse to surrender. You want to know why you're struggling? Because there's things in your life you will not surrender. I don't know what those are. It's not up to me to know. It's up to me, for me to know what God reveals to me, what the Holy Spirit reveals to me. But God's telling you this morning, this is what I desire for you. This is what I have for you. Do you want it? Come and get it. Come and get it. Amen. Hallelujah. I can tell you, I'm the first one that needs to be at this altar this morning. I'm the first one that needs prayer. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Father. I repent for my silly foolishness, my frustration, which is based on anxiety that's totally, totally ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Forgive my blindness, Lord. Open my eyes that I might see. Open the eyes of these people, Lord, that they might see. We might hear you, Holy Spirit, and nothing else, and no one else. We don't need man's wisdom. We need your wisdom, Lord. If you need prayer this morning, if you want a change in your life and you want to enter into that power, now's the time to come. Now's the time to say, Lord, I might have missed it, or I did miss it, and I need to make a change. I want you to change me. That's the way you make the change, is saying, Lord, I need you to change me. I'm open. I'm willing. Whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes this morning. Come up here. Let's pray. Let's agree together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As Gene plays, just be in the presence of God. Bear yourself to Him. You can't hide it from Him anyway. He knows. And He wants to show you, not so you can put you, so you can feel put down, but so that you can walk out of here free. Freer than you've ever been in your life. It's our flesh that holds us back, folks. It's our flesh that can't enter the kingdom of heaven because there's sin in this flesh. Not the sin of rejecting Jesus, but the sin of disobedience. Amen. Hallelujah. I've run to you, Lord. I've run to you, Lord. I need you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things that I've done and said. For allowing the frustration of the flesh to come in, Lord. When you said that you will not, or nor do you cause harm in any person. But everything that you do, everything that you have done, and everything that's been written about you, Lord, is to show
the good that you have and that you want to give your people. We repent, Lord. Set us free from those bondages that hold us back, Lord. If it's sin, Lord, then the sin. If it's this just plain disobedience or high and mighty thoughts, Lord, forgive us. We repent, Lord. I repent. Once again, I cry out, I want to see what you see, Jesus. I want to know what you know. I want to speak what you speak. Not based on what I see or what I feel or my understanding or thoughts, but what is real, what's reality. Truth. You are truth, Lord. You are truth. Thank you for revealing truth to me so that I can change as I desire. And once again, Lord, today I ask, Lord, that you create in every one of us clean hands and a pure heart. Continue to put a pure heart in us, Lord. Continue to illuminate us. Renew a right mind within us, Lord. Search us, O God. Not only see, but reveal to us if there's any wicked way. And again, wicked way, I don't mean blatant disrespect or sin, Lord. I mean things that we're missing it. The right heart that looks to you. It doesn't take comfort away, but lets us not feel so comfortable with the way we think things should be going or what we perceive as the way things are going. To trust in you with an understanding and a heart and spiritual insight as to the way things should be, not the way we see them or we think we see them. We love you, Lord. Don't take your Holy Spirit from us, but fill us to overflowing. Cause us to surrender so the Spirit can have free control and we'll see that power, that authority, and the good things that we desire, Lord, for others. And in so doing that, Lord, as we give ourselves for others, we take up our cross and bear it for others. The blessings will be unhindered. The blessings will flow, and as we've heard and as we know in your word, will overtake us. They'll not only be blessed, but they'll overtake us. They'll overflow us like a raging river. I love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we want to be what you want us to be so that this church, this little building, this fellowship, and your church worldwide will grow, Lord. Change us, Lord. Change me so that I can be the minister that I need to be. Not considering me, but considering you first of all and then others. Remind me once again of the simplicity of the song that I learned many, many years ago as a child. Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. Thank you, Lord, for this day and this time. Thank you for ministering. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing more of the one who is truth to us today. For that we praise and thank you. Now may the wisdom, the insight, the blessing, and the goodness of God go with your people, Lord. May this be the meditation of our heart, now and forever, Lord, that we've heard today, in Jesus' name, for your honor and glory, for your kingdom, Lord. Amen.